Mike, Steve. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. Please check in with us at any time. Anytime you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. I have a quick question for you, Steve. You were talking during the news about bring your daughter and son to work day later on this week. Was it? Didn't it used to just be bring your daughter to work day, or am I imagining that?
It started as bring your daughter to work day, yes, and then they recognized the injustice of that. And so then they added sons.
What's wrong, Wendy? Hold on. Wendy's making sad noises.
I just read today, too, that Scottish Maritime Museum is now going to be forced to not call ships she because it's sexist.
Is it sexist?
What is going on?
Well, who was complaining? Wait a minute. Take your daughters to work day.
Right.
Was always biased against young boys.
But
and so they,
it was typically people would take their sons more often than they did daughters.
No. In the beginning, it was spotlighted as if to say, look, girls can have careers too, which was ridiculous because we kind of already knew that girls could have careers. However, it did make progress for, you know, girls.
It was an empowering thing, you know, take your daughter to work and show all the different careers open to her, which is a great idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's leave your little boys at home.
Yeah, my son would get mad. I remember I took my daughter when it first started going on. Well, she only came like once because she didn't want to get up at 3:30 in the morning again.
Oh, all right.
She goes, yeah, Mom, I've done that. Done it enough. I'm fine. So,
but your son felt left out,
Yeah,
maybe?
He did.
Yeah.
It was weird. I mean, he mentioned it once or twice.
But didn't you could have taken him anytime.
Well,
like, it's bring your sons any day.
I know.
Wendy, that's crazy talk. What do you mean it's bring your sons?
I know people who brought their sons to work a lot when they were growing up. And
not their daughters because they were girls?
Not because they were girls, but they thought maybe the girls weren't interested.
Can I run an idea past you?
Are you trying to break up a fight here?
Yes.
Or what?
We're not fighting. I'm winning.
Okay. God.
Here's an idea. If you think it's good, just give me a nod of approval. If you think it's bad, I accept it. Bring your uncle to work day.
Right. No, that would embarrass me.
I would like to bring my uncle and show him what I do and show him that he could have
a
career on
this. He has an interesting name, Uncle...
Chuck?
No, you had another one that you were talking about when you were younger, Uncle Tully or something.
I don't have any Uncle Tullys.
I can't remember.
Kathy and Judy had really what should have taken off, and it sort of fizzled after
what
a few
was
years.
It?
Take your mom to work day.
Take your mom to work day would be fun if you had a mom.
Yeah, we don't have moms. Wendy
and I don't have moms.
Okay, it's not a universal, but a lot of people don't have children.
We're
not ending take your kids to work day.
Then you bring your pet.
Yeah, don't they have that now? Bring your dog to work?
I'm sure they do.
Bill is crazily absent that day.
I can't come to work that day. I'm
Speaking of animals, yesterday we were talking about possum or opossum. Someone texted us or actually sent a message on Facebook saying, according to Wikipedia, which again I never trust, it is a opossum because Wikipedia claims that the O is silent.
Several people, including my wife, told me that yesterday, that you don't pronounce the O. Thus,
I don't know
it
that
being
true.
Preceded by A instead of an.
Most people don't pronounce it, but I think it's there for a reason.
Excuse me.
Yes, Steve.
Isn't that what I said yesterday on
your
show?
You did say a version of that.
Well, we didn't believe you.
You did say that.
Theory says it and it works. Okay, yeah.
I don't believe either of you.
I thought I could trust you, Bill.
But it's weird because we were talking about opossums, which, God bless them, they're ugly and scary.
Oh, Wendy.
But Bertrand goes home and has this beautiful red fox in his yard.
Oh. Don't tell Sharon.
Wait, the guy from Sanford and Son was in your yard right. When you got home?
I'm sitting in the back on my back deck doing some work, travel work, and this fox just sort of trots down my driveway, and I watch him go along the garage right into my garden.
Did he seem out of place, like, oh, I'm nervous, I'm near humans?
He seemed a little skittish, didn't he?
Well, I mean, I've seen him around.
Yeah.
So we've had a fox or foxes in our neighborhood for a while. So I went out on the back deck and lifted my camera and said, hey, fox. And the fox looked at me and then just kind of sort of trotted away.
They're very photogenic.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That freaks me out. I mean, you see squirrels and rabbits, and squirrels and rabbits are really going crazy now.
Really
is
hope
the time.
That fox found a couple rabbits.
But I've said this in the past, and I continue. I maintain that this is true, that the days of animals, of wild animals being afraid of us is over. There was a time when I was a kid that if an animal saw you, it would dart out of the way. It didn't want to be seen because they were scared. But now animals just, they've lost that fear factor. I don't know what happened.
I don't know if this comes out of it, Bill. What I was going to say yesterday, possums used to say play possum.
Yeah.
possums don't play possum anymore.
Not anymore.
What are you guys saying? We just talked about this.
They've lost all fear, Wendy. They just can't choose that.
Remember, Bill was right with this.
It's involuntary.
It's just like the fainting goats. It's like if you scare them, they just fall over dead, and their eyes look like little X's. It's pretty cute.
Yeah, but it used to come upon a possum in the road or something, and that's why they were always getting run over.
Right. Well, that's not playing dead. That is dead.
But they don't do that anymore. They run away. I see possums frequently, and they don't freeze.
I saw one play dead. The dog ran up to it, and I thought Kona killed it. And I looked, and it was looked like it was dead.
Yeah.
And like an hour later, it was gone.
You know how you can bring it back to life, sort of?
No, how?
Mouth to snout?
No, you rub them right under their chin, and then they'll move.
Okay, who's going to touch a possum?
Oh, they're so gross with those pink tails.
You've never done that?
No,
because they're not going to jump on you because they're playing possum.
Right.
And you just sort of tickle them under their jaw.
Gently. The key is gently.
Thank God you're not an EMT. If someone passed out, wait, just tickle them under
their
chin.
They'll be fine. You'll see. All right, we must take a break, and then there's more of this. Jump in. We're 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
What would you ask Thomas Jefferson if you could? Because I have a question I'd like to ask him.
I have so many things I would like to ask. What is your question?
I would like to know if it took him a while to get used to those tight pants, because they're kind of like leggings.
That's a great question.
Slash yoga pants, sort of, although very gathered.
That is a very good question.
Like, did it take you a while to get used to that polyester-y feel?
I don't know that he's ever been asked that. That's very original. That's excellent. We're talking about bring your daughter... And then in brackets, and son to work day. For a while, it was just bring your daughter to work day, but now it's changed to bring both children, both boys and girls, to work day. Several texts about this. One says this, as a boy growing up in the 90s, I always thought it was BS that all the girls got to leave and go to work with their parents. And it was written in a very angry font, that text. Here's another one. This one says, hospitals discourage bring your daughter to work day because of privacy issues. I can see that. That would make perfect sense.
I don't understand that.
I've brought my daughters in, but never on bring your daughter and son to work day. I've just brought them in because they had stuff to do downtown, so they would come in for a while.
Someone else texted it originally was to show girls they could be something other than a nurse, teacher, or secretary.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's a good, I mean, it's good to do that, but it was just weird. I always thought it was weird that they excluded boys.
Didn't you bring, you brought in one or two of your kids in once, Steve, didn't you, for this? Am I imagining that?
I don't know if I ever did for one of the days.
No?
I don't know that I did.
No?
I mean, I brought them, and they were around.
Yeah.
But. Well, here's another one for Bertrand. My head just exploded. Steve, biased against boys? The workplace has been biased against women since day one.
Okay, don't make 8-year-old boys pay for that.
Were boys complaining, though? I mean, Steve's were boys was. Physically upset, saying, I can't believe... that girls get a day where they get to go into work, and I am cheated out of this.
Because they wanted to get out of school.
That's the reason, right?
You could have brought them another day.
That's the reason. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't understand. To me, it's so obvious, it's not hard to figure out that it's just not a fair thing if you have a national day to bring girls to work and you don't do the same thing for boys.
Right. Boys were always told they could be anything they wanted to be.
Oh, you're right, because I never told my daughter she could be whatever she wanted to be.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying population as a whole. When did this bring your daughter to work day start?
23 or 24 years ago?
Started like in, I would say, the early 90s or around.
But look at what's happened, too. Since it's become bring your children to work day, it's fizzled out.
You know why? Because sometimes they have to go back to school and they have to write up about it, what they learned. And the kids are like, oh, I'm not doing that.
I also think maybe there's some fizzle out factor because at this point, we now probably live in a day and age where most people accept the fact that girls can achieve whatever they want to achieve for the most part, right? Wouldn't you imagine?
I would think so.
I mean, there was a time where people would go, oh, I don't know if that's true. But I think now people will go, no, I if a girl sets her mind to doing something... why can't she do it? It's not a question anymore.
It isn't, but it was, and it was an important time.
Oh, yeah.
And Steve, I get you, because I know you have a boy and a girl, and I have two boys, and a lot of times I find myself fighting for their rights.
I thought you'd be all over that, really.
Yeah, but see, now I've brought my kids into work just on a random day, and really when this started, it was... You know, men had these, like a construction worker would bring his daughter to work. And
right.
Back then, a girl would think, I can never be a construction worker.
Because they can't whistle as loud. Is that why?
Wow, I didn't believe you alluded to the whistle.
All right, I'm done. I'm not fighting, I'm winning. So, as someone said that they're going to use from now on, because that is an awesome quote from Steve Bertrand.
So is my idea for Bring Your Uncle to Workday dead, or is it just in a resting pattern?
You know, it should. They should do away with the day, and you can bring anyone to work whenever
you want.
Bring
anyone you want to work day.
I think it had momentum for a while, and companies were doing whole programs and things,
right.
And it just kind of petered
right.
out.
Yep. One more text. This is not about the workday situation, but it's a carryover from our opossums talk from yesterday and today. It says, hey, Bill and Wendy and Steve and Mary as well. Number one, I totally agree with you. If a possum, or just possum, is spelled with an O at the beginning, the article should be an and that precedes it. No such thing as a silent O, and I know because I'm a retired English teacher. Number two, our daughter's neighbor has a bird feeder that is often visited by a raccoon and a possum in partnership. The raccoon climbs up and shakes seeds down for his possum buddy.
Ah, camaraderie.
That would make a great cartoon. I would watch that on a regular basis if that was a show. So why are so many people insistent that the O is silent?
I've never heard that before, your wife and Steve Bertrand.
Steve is
and Wikipedia, which anyone can edit Wikipedia, so it's never right. I know that's
right.
The first thing that pops up, but no one should be trusting that.
Yeah.
Falsipedia.
All right, let us take a break. It's Tech Tuesday, so we'll talk to somebody from CNET. I think Ashley Escada is filling in today at CNET. It's also World Book Day, and I have an idea, so we'll do that later on.
Yay.
Yes, yes.
Does it involve reading?
Yes.
All right.
It does involve reading. All right, so all that's ahead. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Like the national anthem, Wendy, I don't think you can interrupt this song. So I think we have to let it play through.
I'm thinking. I don't do it often.
I wanted to talk about this guy who is not just a Jeopardy contestant. He is a Jeopardy kamikaze. This guy is a grandmaster at Jeopardy. James Holzhauer is his name. He just keeps winning and winning and winning and winning. And he's not just winning in normal fashion. He's winning big. His top take was over $75,000. He has broken the single day record three times in the last couple of weeks. I watched yesterday. I'd seen little bits and pieces of him, but yesterday I watched the whole episode. He's just relentless.
Now, he is now the third highest of all time.
Ken Jennings is the guy who holds the all-time record, and he was on, I want to say, for over 70 episodes, 74 consecutive wins.
And what did he win? Like, I have no concept of, because they don't win a ton of money.
The guy who's winning right now, James Holzhauer, is right at just under $1 million already, and he's only been on 12 or 13 episodes.
I don't know. You think 12 or 13, you'd be over $1 million, wouldn't
well,
you? That's why I'm saying they don't.
No, because Jeopardy, even though it's probably the hardest of the game shows, its payout isn't what some of the other game shows are.
That's like, what I meant to say.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Every once in a while is giving away $1 million every now and then. Not often, but every now and then. But on Jeopardy, it's not even close. But
is it about the money or the notoriety? Because wouldn't you want to be like winning big on that show?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
People would never doubt you again.
Well, you can't. If you see this guy work... I don't know. Do you consider it work? I guess he's working, right? His
competing.
Knowledge is in so many different areas. It doesn't make sense. Like, everybody who's on the show has a specialty or two. Maybe it's geography. Maybe it's math. Maybe it's pop culture. But I've not seen a category that stumps this guy. Whatever comes up, he's able to not just handle it, but master it. It's frightening how good
he is. It is bizarre.
I can't believe how good he is. Even yesterday... Like, you know the way Jeopardy is structured. It's regular Jeopardy, then it's double Jeopardy, and then it's final Jeopardy. So in the regular round, he wasn't really doing much. And I'm like, oh, is this going to be the day? And then when double Jeopardy happened, all bets were off. He was just knocking stuff out of the park left and right.
It amazes me that people know so much about
About that many different things.
I know.
Like, I want to say, like, if he was only good at Broadway musicals, you go, well, the guy must love Broadway musicals because he's getting them all. Uh-uh. Every single category they throw at him, yesterday they were so varied, it didn't make sense. And he would, like, nothing was stunning him. He got everything.
So what would be your number one category? Definitely pop culture or movies.
Something in that area, yeah.
Mine would be music, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe pop culture. Bertrand, what would your specialty be? Like, if you had to pick a category, what would you...
History.
Really?
Yeah, well, so yeah, as like a team, it. We could go in and have
those specialties. Yeah, I was just thinking.
He would still just wipe the floor with us.
Mary, what's your specialty for Jeopardy category?
Well, it'd have to be pop culture.
Yeah, I think a lot of us would be.
Yeah.
Oh, geography, I would just die.
Would you?
Yeah, me too. That is my absolute worst.
He got some question yesterday. They showed him a flag. Like, I don't remember what the question was, but, you know, Alex Trebek goes, this flag, and then he, and it's a flag I had never seen before. He didn't even hesitate. He knew exactly what region of Africa the flag was from.
And he probably never even heard of the country.
It's amazing.
His brother was out with John yesterday.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
I heard that.
Told some great stories.
They get along, Steve, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right, I have some sample questions.
All right. Throw them out there.
All right. Use your buzzers.
All right.
Your buzzers will be your name.
All right.
These
are questions that have stumped him, or he's gotten these?
These are just sample Jeopardy questions.
All right.
Pseudonym of labor activist and magazine namesake Mary Harris Jones.
Bill.
Steve.
Bill got it first.
What is Mother Jones?
Yes.
Who is Mother Jones?
Whatever.
I think it is.
No, because the magazine.
I know. God, Alex, relax.
Wouldn't you love to see him go off like that? Because I bet he has it in him.
What's fun to watch is the other two contestants, like at the beginning, you know, when they introduced the three contestants, these guys are just staring straight ahead. Like, I can't believe that I finally got on Jeopardy and I got to play this guy. He's a computer.
All right. Here's another one. You ready?
Yeah.
A porch adjoining a building.
Steve, what is a stoop?
Nope. Shall I finish the question?
Yes.
A porch adjoining a building, like where mummy often serve tea.
Steve.
Oh, Mary.
Mary.
What is a banister?
No.
Oh.
I got it.
Bill.
Bill.
What is a sarcophagus?
What is a veranda?
No, it's a terrace.
No, we'll get it. Hold on, we'll get it.
A terrace.
Bill.
Sarcophagus.
You said mummy. I got excited.
Oh. let's go back to that one. Can I try again? What is not a stoop?
What is not a stoop?
Uh-huh. All right. I have one more. We should do this later. I'll find more questions.
Right.
This is, if you
this
had...
This is Jeopardy. What is this is Jeopardy?
Steve, game show.
If you had time, I bet all of us could figure this out.
Yeah.
But you won't have time. This number,
yeah,
one of the first 20,
yeah,
mm-hmm, only uses one vowel, and it uses it four times. That's your hint.
Bill.
What is Steve?
Bill. What is Steve?
Mary.
Oh, my God. I don't have the answer to that. Bill?
What is 10?
No.
Mary.
Well, that only uses one vowel.
It uses it four times, I said.
Oh.
I didn't hear the second part.
What is 17?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Mary wins.
Very good, Mary.
Wow.
Wow, her mom
was surprised myself.
She must have been taken to work as a child.
Were you writing something?
No, I'm just sitting here looking out the window, eating my turkey sandwich.
Yes, the same vowel.
But you know what's interesting is Bill and I, neither one of us bothered to listen to the rest.
We don't want
to
hear
the second part of the question.
That's why you guys would suck on Jeopardy.
I thought of 11, and that has three E's.
Well, don't brag. Now, okay, no. You got it.
But seriously, you two, and I am kind of like that too, where Bill, you do this all the time. You're very quick to answer, and you end up kind of hurting yourself,
sure,
because you want to be first.
But right. I understand this about Bill. Bill is so quick that he knows if he starts. I'm not kidding you. You know, you do this subconsciously. You'll figure out the answer by the time the words come out.
Oh,
that is
thank
pretty
you for
true.
That.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. Now, I do have to say this about the guy, James, who just keeps winning and winning and winning. The way that Jeopardy has always been played is, and this is like a gentleman's agreement. It's not in the rules. It's just the way that players of Jeopardy play the game. you got the categories, and they always go with the higher ones first, the higher on the board, and then the, you know, the dollar values increase as you go down the board. So everybody always starts out with the easy ones and builds towards the high ones. This guy is like a sniper. He wants those double jeopardies, so that he knows they're always hidden down toward the lower part of the board. So he's looking for those all the time.
If you know the category, why wouldn't you go to the hardest
exactly.
one?
Exactly.
You know, sometimes you have to warm up to the category, though.
But if it's something you're very comfortable with, I say go right for the big money.
But he's not uncomfortable. Like, whatever they throw
at him.
Can he do portable potables?
He could do
portable potables.
Portable potables?
Yes.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a category.
It's like porta potties, but that would be an awful category.
What's a potable?
It's like a potable water, something you can drink.
Is it a potion or notion or lotion?
Yes.
What is over our heads, Alex?
Potable is safe to drink. It's drinkable.
That's what I said.
Okay, but why? So what is
it? It's a category they use a lot. It's called potent potables.
Thank you.
John Williams has entered into the arena.
Here we
just
go.
Just listen, it's potent potables.
Right,
it's
and that's
alcohol.
A frequent, yeah, it's a frequent category.
Oh, I should be great at that.
Steve said portable potables. Which I think is a bathroom the construction workers use.
It's a thermos.
John, you talked to this guy's brother yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that.
And you know, he was a terrible student. He was a C student.
Was he really?
The winner.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I heard.
James
a great
Holtzauer.
ACT, but not great grades.
He didn't care.
It's because he had all this knowledge, it just wasn't channeled properly. Is that what it is?
It made his parents crazy.
I bet.
He didn't do homework. I have a kid like that.
He's one of those guys, his brother said, that would show up for the final.
Yeah.
Literally. And then sometimes he'd show up for the final and they said the final moved. And he went, oh, so he flunked a class at the U of I because he never went. He just thought, I'll show up to the final and get my A. But the final had moved, so he had to flunk that class.
Oh, wow.
In high school, he was not a real good student.
Oh, wow. Did you read the story about how this is screwing up the budget over at Jeopardy?
I was wondering about that.
It's totally screwing up their budget.
Is that for real?
But yes, but it's good for ratings. So in the long run, because now more and more people are watching it just to see if this guy is as good as we think he is, and he is.
I don't like the game shows that don't give a lot of money. You know, like
that's what I was saying. This is not really a high prize for all the effort put into it.
I know, and think of all the money they're making.
Yeah.
It's that way on Price is Right. You know, like you win a new car. I asked $20,000, but the commercial after it costs $50,000, so they're good.
I read yesterday that some of the game shows have insurance policies. Like they make a deal with insurance companies to make sure that this sort of thing isn't going to happen.
And as good as this guy is, he's only the number three highest.
Right.
He's not even anywhere close to 2 and 1, which are $3 and $4 million. And he's at about $1 million now, right?
Just below $1 million.
So he'd have to triple or quadruple the amount of winnings he has now to get to the top.
I think he's going to do it.
He does seem to be pretty comfortable.
He's so good. He's so good. You're going to be on with us later to talk about
it. Yeah, I get out of the way. The portable potty thing, I had to run in here.
That's Bertrand. He's not fighting, he's winning. That's his new catchphrase.
And Steve, John is here because it's Bring Your John Williams to Work Day.
Goodbye.
That's the reason we brought him in. All right, we'll take a quick break and then we'll check in with CNET next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Oh, yeah, that music means it is a Tech Tuesday, and we go live to CNET senior editor. She's actually with CNET TV. This is Ashley Esqueda. How are you, Ashley?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. We have a couple stories to cover. One I overheard this morning, my two boys were saying, hey, do you want to go to Milwaukee this summer? Because the voice of Mario is going to be there. Charles Martinet is going to be there and they want to go meet him. And Nintendo's Game Boy turns 30 years old. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and if I wanted to feel old this week, that was definitely the headline to do it.
I think I had the original Game Boy. When we worked together, we had someone up that they were selling them, and I have like the original first issue of a Game Boy.
Very nice.
It's probably worth something.
I did too. And man, it's really, I can't believe that it's been 30 years since we had this little handheld, well, it was kind of big for this handheld device that we could play video games on. And the original one sold about almost 120 million copies. So it's extremely popular. It's one of the best-selling consoles of all time. It's in the top three. which is pretty cool. I can personally vouch for Charles Martinet. He's the voice of Mario. I met him at E3, the video game convention in LA a couple years ago, and he was so nice, and he stopped for just about anybody who would take a picture with him.
Oh.
And he did a Mario voice, and I mean, he is just such a joy. So yeah, I mean, it's not a bad route to go if you head over there to go meet him.
Ashley,
but,
do you know?
And we're seeing these like kind of revivals with some of the older Game Boy games, like Tetris, for example.
Loved
has
it.
Gotten a really big revival in the way of a couple of different games. So there's Tetris Effect that is available in both 2D on your television screen and in virtual reality, which is really cool. And then there's also Tetris 99, which is a recent sort of a battle royale Tetris game where you're playing Tetris against 99 other people, which is pretty awesome.
Wow.
The pressure's on then. And you'd think I'd be a great packer when I go on vacation because of how great
yeah,
I was
right.
at Tetris.
But you're not packing blocks.
I feel that all of my packing skills have come from all of those years of playing Tetris.
Yeah.
Ashley, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, but was the Game Boy system 30 years ago, was that the first handheld video game, or were there things that came before it?
I believe it was the first one. I mean, it definitely was the first one that sort of hit the zeitgeist. Like, it's certainly the one that everybody remembers as, like, the very first.
Yeah.
That's a good question. There might have been a smaller device that a company or some smart business that had something, you know, like it, or maybe tried something like it, but it just didn't quite hit. But if there is, I'm not aware of it.
The Lynx holds the distinction of being the world's first handheld electronic game.
Is that
game.
Atari? Did Atari make that?
That makes sense. The Atari Lynx.
It was
yeah.
released in 1989, the same year as Nintendo's, but it's not saying who released it.
I had a game at about that same time, and what it was clowns jumping out of a burning building, and you had to catch them in a basket. It only played the one game, but
I remember that game.
Yeah. To this day, anytime I see a burning building with clowns nearby, I spring into action immediately.
All that nostalgia just
right comes flooding
back
at me. Yep.
Also, something in the news today. I saw this that there is an 18-year-old New Yorker who is suing Apple for $1 billion. Explain.
Oh, boy, this story. So a lot of people don't know that Apple uses facial recognition in their stores. And so when you go to an Apple store, there are facial recognition softwares that the company runs in the event of things like theft or maybe an event that happens in the store, things like that. And also just machine learning, I would imagine. I can't say for sure, but I would imagine Apple likes to see, you know, to steal a phrase from Marie Kondo, what sparks joy for Apple enthusiasts. But this 18-year-old New Yorker was arrested in November, and the police, the NYPD, said, you stole $1,200 worth of merchandise from the Boston Apple store a year ago. And he said, no, I didn't. I was at prom in Manhattan the day of the theft, and I've never been to Boston. So I'm not really sure what's going on here. Well, apparently a person went to that Boston Apple store. The actual culprit went and used a stolen ID that had this 18-year-old's name, address, and other details, but not the picture. And so Apple said, oh, it's facial recognition software identified or has linked you to these thefts. And so that's why this 18-year-old is suing, because it misidentified him. And so he is taking that to court. He's saying, you guys owe me a lot of money. This is extremely damaging to my character, and it incorrectly linked me to these crimes. So it's a very interesting news story, and one that I am very curious to follow, because I think a lot of stores that are kind of that hold higher end technology or also just higher end stores may be interested in deploying this type of technology, the outcome of this could really change how stores track and monitor shoppers.
Ashley, is it $1 billion because it's Apple? If this was any other company, it wouldn't be as high as $1 billion, would it?
I think you're probably right. Yeah. And I mean, if you're suing Apple, why not just swing for the fences?
Go for broke.
I'm sure his lawyers have probably advised him, like, let's ask for $1 billion and maybe they'll give us half that. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I mean, you could always come down in your price, you know, start high.
You can always start high, negotiate high.
Bill, you were right. The Lynx was made by Atari.
Atari, yeah.
And that was back in 1989. Real quickly, before we let you go, she's Ashley Esqueda from CNET. She's an editor at CNET TV. There was another thing in the news. If you want an Apple Watch Series 4 and Series 3, you can get a deal. Amazon is cutting prices. I didn't know Amazon could legally sell Apple stuff.
So Amazon is sort of finicky when it comes to selling products that they don't make, tech products especially, specifically. So I think the Apple Watch is kind of an exception because Amazon does not make a smartwatch. So it's a little bit easier for them. It's an easier pill for them to swallow to give a little bit of cash, kick a little cash Apple's way for selling some smartwatches. But yeah, there was a coupon that was on Amazon. I think right now it's still available. You can save, like $34 or so, and the Apple Watch Series 4 is about $450. So it's a small discount, but maybe, if you're looking to shop for maybe your mom for Mother's Day or, maybe for yourself, treat yourself. Maybe you deserve a nice gift. Maybe you've been through it this month. It's interesting when Apple and Amazon, or it's interesting when Amazon actually allows some other third-party retailers like Google and Apple to sell their products on their site, especially if they have a direct competitor in the way of a competing product. You can get a little discount there if you're so inclined.
Very nice.
Ashley Esqueda is her name. She's a senior editor at CNET TV. You're still hosting the show Tomorrow Daily, aren't you?
I'm not doing that one. I'm doing a show called Stream Economy, and we talk about, I try to educate folks on sort of the inside baseball of Hollywood as it pertains to geek pop culture. So if you're curious about where Star Wars might go after episode 9 ends, then you'd want to watch Stream Economy every other Saturday morning on our YouTube channel.
I think you have two new viewers.
That sounds great.
Bill and I.
We're in.
Yeah.
All right.
We have a lot of fun, and it's a good time. So feel free to stop by.
We will.
Thanks, Ashley. Have a great rest of the week.
You too. Bye, guys.
Ashley Esqueda from CNET. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio. Wendy, this song can only mean one thing. It is World Book Day.
We're going to take a walk on the wild side.
Lou Reed.
Oh!
Today is World Book Day. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy.
I'm fighting. I'm winning.
Oh, hi, Steve.
That was not me. I mean, that was me.
It was a younger you.
Right.
It was you much younger when you were earlier in the show today. All right. Because it's World Book Day, I had this idea. Tell me what you think of this. I would love for people to just call in or text in 312-981-7200 and recommend a book. Maybe something you've read recently. Maybe you read something years ago that has stayed with you. But just a book that you highly recommend. I stole it from Oprah. I'll be honest with you. It's like Oprah's book club. But if you have a book that you would like to recommend to us, please, by all means, 312-981-7200. That's our call line and our text line. Steve, I'd love to start with you. I know what a voracious reader you are. Recommend a book. What's a book that you like?
Well, there was a book. I just finished it. It's really funny because... And it's called The Pledge. It was recommended by some people who are traveling to Switzerland with me. It's a Swiss novel, but it's about a police officer who's consumed by a child murder.
That he promised the mother that he would find the person, and the person they thought was guilty committed suicide. Anyway, he's consumed by this, and it really takes over and destroys his life. And it was Sean Penn made it into a movie with Jack Nicholson about 20 years ago.
Was it The Crossing Guard?
It was called The Pledge. And Nicholson, I think, lived up in the woods or something. But it's a novel set, but it's a Swiss novel, and it's translated. It's very short. You can read it in just a few hours.
The Pledge.
The Pledge. But the reason, Bill, I recommend it is because listening to the police in Indiana talking yesterday about the Delphi murders,
yes,
it just sounded so...
There's a similarity.
So close to home,
yeah,
about these officers working so hard to find this murderer, that it fits perfectly with it. Very short book called The Pledge.
All right. I'll find that. I like that for sure. Do you have one, Wendy, or do you not
have
one?
I know. Look at me like I've never read a book before.
But you've said on the show several times that you're not a huge fan of reading.
No, I'm a fan of it. I don't do it much. There's a book that came out many years ago, but I highly recommend it. We've had this author on. His name is Kevin Guilfoyle. He's from LaGrange. It's called Cast of Shadows, and it's a thriller as well as Bertrand's suggestion. Every parent's worst nightmare, a man's teenage daughter is murdered, and there's a very unique way in which he gives his life to try and find the killer. I don't want to give too much away. It's really good. He does some things that are very fascinating to... I don't want to give too much away, but
This is a couple years from a couple years ago?
It's 2006.
Oh.
It's pretty old. It really is an amazing thriller book that... I was very sad when it was over because I wanted it to keep going.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's a good book.
Doesn't that get to you when you're really enjoying a book and you only have 25 or 30 pages left and you're like, oh.
I know.
This is too good to end.
But Cast of Shadows, Kevin Guilfoyle, one of my favorite books.
He's from...
LaGrange.
Here. Yeah, LaGrange. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some similarities between your choice and Steve's choice. Mary, are you around or not around?
Well, I'm here.
Do you have one? Is there a book that you recommend?
I don't read a lot of books just because when I go to bed, I pass out after reading like 2 pages.
I fall asleep with it on my chest a lot of times.
But I just joined a book club. It's kind of in my family. A bunch of nieces and nephews are doing it, so I have to stay up late to go to the book club one night a month. But anyway, we're reading that Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it's about.
It's about a very... very bizarre girl who, and she's in her 30s when the book starts, but she's had a very tough life, and parts of her life come out through the book, and she lives in England, and she lives by herself, and she doesn't do much, and she starts doing things, and it's really interesting.
Well, that sounds
and
good.
And a lot of the girls, I haven't finished it yet, but a lot of the girls that are reading it don't like it, and a bunch do, so it's very interesting to see
why so polarizing.
Liking.
What's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the younger girls are not liking it as much as, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Us older women. So I'm not sure. I'm really enjoying it. It's on like the bestseller list.
And the title one more time, Mary, is what?
Eleanor Oliphant. It's Oliphant. Is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let's go to some callers. A lot of people on the phone lines, 312-981-7200. If you'd just like to recommend a book, it's World Book Day.
All right. So let's start with Janet. Janet's on the line. Hey, Janet.
The book I loved was Educated. It's a memoir by Tara Westover.
And what's her story?
She is, they say she's homeschooled, but they hardly ever teach her anything. And she's out, you know, helping in the tractors and using an outhouse and very rudimentary. The guy was a Marine and he just raises his daughter like one of the guys, the farmhand.
Yeah.
Well, what's amazing about it is she goes on, somehow she leaves home and gets scholarships, and she ends up going to a Rhodes Scholar, and she's gone to Princeton, and this is her first book. And
oh, wow.
It is just amazing.
And did it just come out recently, or has it been out for a little bit?
You know, I didn't remember her name, so I looked it up. It came out February 20th, 2018.
So pretty recently, very recently.
It is. It's going to be for our book club June 3rd. We're all going to, you know, discuss it, and I can't wait to get
Excellent.
There and talk about it.
The book is called Educated. Janet, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Really appreciate Bye-bye. It.
You should get the ladies from The View together and join a book club.
Wendy, I would do that in a minute.
I know you would.
I would love to do that.
Gary's on the line. Hey, Gary.
How you doing?
What do you got, a book for us? What is it?
Yeah, it's a good book. It's a book called The 50s, and it's written by a fellow named David Halberstam, who anything he's written I've read, and he's a tremendous writer. He passed away, was killed in a car accident maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But great book. It talks about things that happened during the 50s that impact us still today.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
It really is. It talks about, for example, the start of television. It talks about the first suburbs, Levittown, which was built out in New Jersey.
Yeah.
McDonald's has a chapter on fast food and McDonald's, which began in the 50s. It talks about the start of super highways that were built during the 50s and the Holiday Inns that sprung up as a result of that. Talks about the Cold War. A lot of political things are mentioned in it, but it's chapter by chapter. And I used to teach school. And having read this book, I taught a whole lesson on things from this book by having the kids read certain segments of it. So it's really a tremendous book if you're interested in things that happened back in the 50s that still impact us today.
The book is called The 50s by David Halberstam. Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it. That sounds really interesting.
It is a good book. I'd recommend it. Thanks.
All right, take care. Thank you so much.
I think I want to read that.
That sounds so good. All right, do you have a book that you recommend? It's World Book Day. Just tell us a little bit about the book. We're at 312-981-7200. Today is World Book Day, so what we're asking from you is to just call us or text us and recommend a book, maybe something you've read recently, maybe something you read years ago. You just can't get it out of your mind. Ernest Hemingway once said, "There is no friend as loyal as a book." That Ernest Hemingway.
There is an amazing, is it a Twilight Zone, The Last Man on Earth, and it's
Burgess Meredith.
And he has no time to read, and the world ends, and he finally has time to read, and I won't give away the end.
I think it's called All the Time in the World.
That is what
is that
it's
right?
called.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
It is really good. All right, Connie has been on hold, so let's talk to her. This is Welcome to Bill Leff's Book Nook, and he's looking for ideas of what to read next.
Okay, my book is Be Free or Die.
By whom?
And it's by Kate Lineberry.
And what's it about, Connie?
It's about Robert Smalls, who escaped slavery in 1862. He was a slave in Charleston, and he was a pilot or a deckhand on a ship.
Yeah.
And he stole a ship with 15 blacks on board and made it to the Union.
And how did
right past Fort Sumter. It was exciting.
That's really cool.
How did you come across this book, Connie? Because it sounds like an obscure story. How did you hear about it?
I think I heard it on a Sunday morning show.
Oh, yeah? Excellent. And you highly recommend it?
Oh, I highly recommend it. It's a beautiful story, very well researched.
Be Free or Die. Connie, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Sure.
All right, that sounds good. Boy, we really can open up our eyes to different stories.
Sure.
And this is a great way to do it. Therese is on the line. Hi, Therese.
Hey, how's it going, Wendy?
Good. Bill's Book Nook, what do you have for him?
Well, this is terrific for Bill. In fact, this author is probably Bill's brother. It's called My Grandmother Said to Tell You I Was Sorry, and it's by Frederick Bachman. He's, I think, Norwegian or Swedish, and he's got a whole bunch of books. This book is so phenomenal. You have no idea where it's coming from, where it's going, but the ending is great. He writes it so like you're part of it. The other book he writes that I think Bill would really enjoy, and you probably would too, Wendy, is A Man Called Ove, O-V-E.
My wife,
it makes you laugh out loud.
All right.
Therese, my wife has read both of these books. She loves both of them, and she's recommended them. I haven't gotten to them yet, but yeah, they're in my future for sure.
Oh, my gosh. And he got the new one out. I think it's called Bear Tracks or Bear something. And it's just phenomenal. He writes so well.
That's
so
excellent.
You guys are great to put these up because I'm getting more book ideas.
Oh,
and I
excellent.
Love your show. And don't go anywhere.
Therese, you're so nice.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
If you
Appreciate
get your book
it.
Nook, I want my recipe box.
We can do something like that.
All right.
Yeah.
You got to help me here. Jim's on the line. Hey, Jim.
How you doing?
Bill's Book Nook.
What do you
got,
Jim?
I just finished a book about a subject that's not talked about far enough, suicide.
Oh.
And the book is called One More Day. It's written by a woman who using her family network and her friends and her faith, learned to deal with her sister's suicide.
Oh, tough storyline there.
Oh, but it was so good. It's like she was sitting in the room talking to me.
Really?
I really like that book. It's called One More Day by Kim Glass.
And why did you choose that? It seems like somber subject matter, but you obviously got a lot out of it. Why? What made you choose this book?
Well, my sister recommended it to me.
Yeah, and it paid off.
We've had some suicides in the family, although not very close members. Cousins out in the East Coast, we hardly knew that well. But my sister read it. She says, you have to read this book, Jim.
Jim, it sounds so good.
Because it has to do with grief as well, because I lost my wife a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
She recommended it because it has to do with grief as well, because the same woman, she went through a lot. Her 15-year-old older brother fell off a cliff while they were in Hawaii and died. And then years later, her mom died of breast cancer, and she was in college jogging, and she was brutally raped.
Oh,
my God.
Then her sister took her own life. Now, this didn't happen weeks apart. But
right, but still, that's a lot for one family to bear. One More Day.
It's a very good book about One More Day. It's called by Kim Glass, K-Y-M-K-L-A-S-S. And I sent it to a friend in California just yesterday. I said, you got to read this book.
Highly recommended. Jim, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. It's called One More Day. Thanks again.
Love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wanda's been on hold for a while. Hey, Wanda.
Hi. Good morning. I have to recommend Robert B. Parker's The Spencer series. He's a Boston detective, used to work for the police force, but he didn't like to follow the rules.
Right.
So he's a private eye now. And I just love the characters and the dialogue so much. I have the whole series in my hope chest, and every couple of years I'll pull them all out and read them in consensual order again. They're just so fun.
You know, they made a TV series out of that for a while, right? Spencer for Hire.
Yes, and I got it. It's not as good, of course, but it's okay.
Yeah.
The other thing was that he died a few years ago, and his estate hired two authors to keep the Spencer character going.
Oh, interesting. Are they as good with the new authors or not as good?
Yes they are.
They held up. Excellent. Well, thank you for the recommendation. Really appreciate it, Wanda.
You betcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I quickly recommend something? One of my all-time favorite books. I've read it twice, and I'm getting ready to read it a third time. It's a book called Confederacy of Dunces. A guy named John Kennedy O'Toole wrote it. The backstory on this is as interesting as the novel itself. He couldn't get it published. He tried everything, and no publisher would touch it. He died. He took his own life. And then his mother went to all these publishers and begged and said, please reread this. One of them did end up publishing it, and it became a bestseller. It's such a great book. The characters are so well layered. There's interesting twists and turns all throughout it. It's called Confederacy of Dunces. I urge you to read it. It's really, really great.
All right. A couple of texts. Confederacies of Dunces.
A Confederacy of Dunces.
Okay. I have to read this. Six People You Meet in Heaven by Mitch Albom.
Yeah.
Which I always say his name wrong. Did I say it right?
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
You got it.
And somebody said there's a Joni Mitchell story that was really great. I highly recommend it. It's called, I can't find it now, Tremendous Biography, Reckless Daughter, A Profile of Joni Mitchell. Such a great read. Someone says The Stand. They read it.
Yeah,
Stephen
so
King
good.
All the time.
If not his best, certainly one of his best. Easily one of his best.
And there are many more, which we should put together here. And Devil in the White City, of course. I started reading that.
You never finished
no.
it? Oh, it's so good. It's really, really good. All right, so happy World Book Day, everybody. Go out and read. It's very, very important. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you so much, Eric. We appreciate it. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I can't get my mind off this Crystal Lake story. Ryan Burrow is in the studio with us to keep us up to date. No real new developments at this point.
Well, here's what we've got from Crystal Lake Police today. They're searching Lippold Park again in Crystal Lake, not too far from where the boy disappeared. They started the search yesterday, but the weather got kind of bad in the afternoon, so they stopped. They're continuing that search right now. They continue to use sonar teams on boats in all of the waterways, not just Crystal Lake Beach, but, you know, all of the various other places, retention ponds, where unfortunately someone may be if they were hidden in one form or another. They're using planes overhead to search various areas as well. They did just today release some of that 911 tape from the initial call AJ's dad placed immediately after saying he couldn't find the boy
in the morning.
In the tape, I've listened to the whole thing. I mean, he said, you know, they woke up. He was not there. He had seen him at 9:30 the night before. And then they did go out. At least he says he went out and canvassed the neighborhood, went to a nearby gas station where they occasionally got treats, went to a nearby park, which may be Lippold Park. I'm not exactly sure. And even went and spoke to some people to see if they had seen him. And at that point, no one had seen him. So they released that tape. They continue to ask anyone in the Crystal Lake area if they've got any surveillance video on the sides of their homes, maybe doorbell video or anything like that, especially in that neighborhood, to pass that along between April 15th and April 19th. Now, the 15th is a little early, but maybe they just want to kind of see movements of cars and vehicles and things like that, to pass that along, and they'll take a look at that and see if maybe they can piece together something, find that missing clue.
Ryan, the mother is petitioning to get custody back right now of the younger boy.
3 years old, yeah, Parker.
What are the chances of that at this point?
Don't know. That's going to be her effort. She was supposed to be, and we'll find out what happened. She was actually supposed to be in court earlier this morning for a traffic hearing. Not this is nothing
totally
pressing.
Unrelated.
I mean, this is related to a December 18th traffic stop, apparently driving with an invalid license. We're talking about a fine of like $150 or something, but she didn't show up to court. She was supposed to show up to traffic court today. Don't know if she did that or not. But this afternoon is when the protective custody hearing will take place, and the attorney for her says that he will speak after.
You know, it's just a catch-22 situation, because you don't want a child to be not with their parents, but then if their parents can't take care of them, it's just such a terrible situation. I hope they find this little AJ. And the 911 calls, was it panic stricken? Was it because, you know, if just imagine being a parent, you wake up, you've put your kid to bed, there is no kid to be found, you would be freaking out.
Hey, Eric, are you listening right now?
Yes.
Yeah, Eric, I'm wrong.
Okay, if you pull up one of the L numbers, we might be able to. Can we play some of that? There's one that's, I think, like 17 seconds long. Well, any one of the two, and we can listen to a little bit of.
Here's AJ's father after he went missing.
We canvassed the neighborhood. Yeah, I went to the local park, local gas station down here where we sometimes take him to buy treats. I spoke with the assistant principal over there at the school where the park is, and they haven't seen Kim or any other child.
Would you be acting that calm, cool, and collected if you couldn't find your kid? Please be honest. I'm not pointing fingers or saying anything, but a reaction speaks volumes. I would be freaking out.
I think part of it might be if there's a history of him doing this sort of thing. Most kids don't have that kind of history, but maybe, just maybe, his kid from time to time got up earlier than the rest of the family and went out and did stuff.
I put little slidey locks high up on our front and back door, because that was my biggest fear, is once these kids got out of their, you know, crib and were in a toddler bed. The kids get up early. I don't know why they get up early. There's nothing fun going on that time, but that was my biggest fear.
I can tell you that in panic situations, and we've all been in them before, you know,
you usually need
someone to be calm, cool, and collected.
It's
and not hysterical. Yeah, well, and that might be part of it too. This might be his personality. I mean, you don't need two hysterical parents yelling. You know, he's telling authorities, look, this is what we've done so far. This is where we've looked. So
pretty calm though, guys.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what you can read out of that.
I don't know either.
We had the development the other day that they brought these dogs in, and the dogs sniffed around the area, and they said that they're going to rule out abduction, and they're going to rule out the boy, AJ, just walking off. Mm-hmm. Is that 100% foolproof?
That's what that's what their assumption is. That's where their investigation's at right now. Usually they don't tell things like that to us unless they've ruled it out completely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were getting a lot of questions right away. Why didn't you issue an Amber Alert? You know, wasn't there a mass call at that point? And that was their explanation, is they believe that the home is a crime scene and they believe that he was not abducted. So that's kind of where the investigation is.
You know, sorry, my 5-year-old doesn't walk out of the house at nighttime by himself, that his parents or somebody in the house did something. This is 630. I know people whose kids walked out at that age, and sure, sometimes even younger. They see a parent walking in and out of the house, and they go to explore. They're not trying to do anything mean. It does happen. It can happen.
It doesn't sound like, at least police don't believe that that's what happened in this case, though. So
the mother had said the other day, or her lawyer had said, that she's no longer cooperating with police. Has that changed at all since? Or
no, not. And we're hoping to get some more from the attorney today after that that protective custody hearing. He said that he will talk. They don't know if she's going to talk. They said that she's distraught, emotional, physical. I mean, I can imagine, regardless
sure
of how anyone is right now, over the last 6 days, she's been through a lot, so he doesn't know whether or not she's going to speak. But as far as we know, she's still not cooperating with authorities.
A strange way to play it.
Yeah. I mean,
no matter how upset she is, if you're the parent of a child who's missing, wouldn't you go out of your way to cooperate?
Well, even if they thought you were a suspect, at that point, if you weren't, you'd be like, I don't care. Think what you want. We got to find the kid. Yeah. That's top priority.
But it was her attorney who said that he advised her that he thought that she was being considered a suspect at that point, and that's when he told her to stop speaking with
him.
Yeah,
but at that point, nothing personal, but priority one is finding this kid. So whether you're a suspect or not, work with the police, do everything you can to help find the child, and then deal with everything afterwards, you would think.
You would think.
You would almost think.
Yeah.
Ryan, thank you for your time on this. Really
no
appreciate
problem.
It. It's Ryan Burrow from our newsroom. We'll take a break, and then John Williams stops by with some news. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy.
And coming up, the stories that matter. Oh, wait, I don't have to tell you that. I want to tell you about something else.
I still matter, Wendy.
Well,
come on.
Eric Rung matters,
right,
Wendy.
Eric Rung will have the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
All
but
right.
Wait, that's not coming up now. We have something coming up on the stream. You can hear us talk about what's hot and what's cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Today, there's been a new Guinness World Record that was broken for a really weird thing.
Ah.
And we'll tell you about that. That's coming up afternoon, 720 WGN. A friend of ours is in the studio, Bill.
It's John Williams, who's a part of... No, he's still our friend. You're still our friend.
I actually looked around to see who was coming.
John, it says here on my sheet that you are part of the John Williams Show. Who do you play on that program?
I play the part of Elif, the producer.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You're
very, very complicated.
Yep. What brings you to town?
Well, I feel bad because I strolled in here a little while ago and you guys were talking about
with
the Jeopardy
reason.
Show, but
yes.
I just got mad at Bertrand and had to come in and fix things.
Oh,
That's what we all do with Bertrand.
But I would want to just give a quick plug because I'm leaving a town Friday.
Yeah.
And I'll be gone for about 8 days. So this will be the last chance you get to hear me nag you about going to see our Jefferson show. And I know
not nagging.
Hate to miss this opportunity.
We want to know more.
Who's more ticked, you or Thomas Jefferson?
That's the thing. The more I think about it, the more I think we could be just as disappointed with them as they are with us. I mean, that was the whole gambit. It's like we do this show every year. We've been doing it for 15, 20 years. How long have we been doing it? And there's always new news and politics, so we invite the founding father back, and he tells us about the world.
Yeah.
So the idea was that he's just going to come here and go, you guys, what the heck?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, he'd be mad at Congress. He'd be mad at all the Democrats. He'd certainly be mad at the president. And so he's there to sort of wag his finger at us.
Yeah.
But then you think about it and you go, you know, you guys weren't all that in a bag of chips either. Right?
Right.
I mean, really, when you start to think about it, we revere the founding fathers. But when you remember what they thought about people and life, they didn't think people of color should vote, women should vote, men who didn't have enough property should vote. So, what are we revering there?
Which side of the fence was Thomas Jefferson on those issues? Do we know?
Absolutely women shouldn't vote. Absolutely women shouldn't even be in politics.
Yeah.
Absolutely people of color shouldn't vote. I don't know how he felt about white men without enough property.
Yeah.
But he's the guy that said all men are created equal.
Right.
So when he walks onto stage.
But he meant men. When he said all men, he meant men.
But he didn't even mean that either.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, it's funny because he's very eloquent. Somebody once asked him, how can you say that and do that? It conflicts. And he's got a very eloquent response. I hope somebody brings that up again this time.
Yeah.
Because he said he knew that in the world then, there was no way you could liberate African Americans and give them the vote. Or, you know, and he was just prejudiced against women. He just didn't think they had the capacity. Stuff like that.
Yes.
But that's the way educated people felt at the time.
Right.
You know?
Right, right, right.
And he also, his long view was that, of course, we have to free the slaves and emancipate people of color. But we can't do it right now. I mean, he even wrote in the Declaration of Independence a passage that said, when we go forth as this new nation, we won't have slavery, and they wouldn't pass the Declaration with that passage in it.
Right.
Which is kind of, you know.
So now, tough. Now because it's 2019, does he look back on those things and say, oh, that was hundreds of years ago, I've thought about it, I've recalculated my yeah. belief system.
Now that you mention it.
Does that happen?
Yeah, well, that's, I won't speak for him, but that's a fair question.
Yes.
It's like, you know, Steve Cochran was on the air the other day talking about the, what is it, Philadelphia Flyers, who had the
Kate Smith. Yeah.
God Bless America, then they found a racist song. And so where's the timeline between when you say, okay, that was then, this is now?
Right.
And we've decided Kate is more on the this is now side of the line, and yeah. we're going to hold her responsible for it.
Yeah.
And Thomas Jefferson, does he get a pass because he lived in a different era? That comes up.
Maybe.
Yeah, and maybe not.
Yeah.
So maybe we should take down Jefferson statues and take the name off of Jefferson's right. middle school and stuff like
right.
that. So that'll come up, I suspect. You know, here's just a couple of things that we'll ask him about that are in the news.
Yeah.
Should we forgive college debt?
Oh, good question.
Should we ask the president and force the president to share his tax returns?
Very good question.
Yeah. Do we make it too easy or too hard to impeach a president?
Oh, very timely.
Should it be harder to buy a gun? Kamala Harris was talking about that the other day.
Will he answer any Game of Thrones questions?
Right. Who do you think will take the throne?
Right.
You know what? Right. I guarantee you I'm going to ask him.
Somebody
that.
Will ask him.
Well, no, really funny. You know what he'll say? He'll just look sour and he'll say, you citizens watch too much of this thing called television.
Yeah.
Better you play the violin and read Homer in the original Greek.
He is so good at coming up with an answer that makes sense.
So this guy is a, you know, I hate to look behind the curtain, but just so you know how credible he is, when Ken Burns did his documentary about Jefferson,
yeah.
he was the principal interview.
Really?
He's a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah.
Jefferson wrote 20-some thousand letters. My guy memorized them, right?
Wow.
So when Jeez. People ask him stuff, he knows the stuff.
Yeah.
If you say, what kind of wine do you like for lunch? He'll give you the year and the vineyard in France and where it was made.
Wow.
Because he ordered it all of the time. So he's just kind of a fun guy to talk to about what life was back then and how do we apply it today.
It's all happening Saturday, May 18th.
Thank you.
Classic Cinemas Tivoli Theater, that's in Downers Grove.
Yeah, yeah.
It's at 10 a.m. Tickets, $33, worth every penny, on sale now. You can get yours at just find out more info at WGNradio.com/Jefferson.
And there's a link for the tickets right there.
We place a lot of importance on presidential approval ratings. They didn't have that in his time. Would he have cared? Would it have mattered to Thomas Jefferson what his approval rating was?
I'm going to ask him presidential approval rating.
Ask him about that.
Because I guarantee you his fallback is it's none of your beeswax.
Oh, no, really? Yeah.
I don't know if they had beeswax back then, but if you ask him something he's not comfortable with, like his tax returns or his sex life,
yeah.
he'll just look at you like, you know, what a waste of an opportunity for you to
really?
Ask me that. And then he'll delve into it sometimes as a courtesy to me, but he gets ticked at us for worrying about the silly little things like that.
Yeah.
And a soda tax, for instance.
I'm yeah.
going to write soda tax down.
That's a good one.
They didn't have soda back then, but whatever.
Tea tax.
President. What was that one before that I'm going to ask him about?
Presidential approval ratings.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a good one.
All right.
Saturday, May 18th, you can go to WGNradio.com/Jefferson. Want to mention it's sponsored by Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park and Oak Brook. Call 708 the suburbs, 888, think ache, 0000 as in zero pain.
That's the Joint Relief Institute. So just go to WGNradio.com/Jefferson, get the tickets, and I promise you, you will enjoy it. And if you don't have a memorable happy time, full refund.
It's you?
Really?
Nah, that's not true.
It's Thomas Jefferson, it's you, and it's Yoan Moncada.
I'm well, going now.
That's a great show right
ask
there.
Ask him about sports.
See what he thinks about sports.
Sports.
Excellent.
Does he think
did they have sports back then?
They had horseback riding. He was a jogger. He would just be running around.
Oh, really?
People would look at him and go, what the hell? What are you doing? But he would jog.
With the wig and the tights on?
They didn't have Nike back then.
No, nothing like that.
He wore downstairs, but he'd have something on and he'd run around. So by downstairs, I meant on his feet.
Right, of course.
That's the area of the downness that I was thinking about.
Of course.
So that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, thanks, John.
I
appreciate it. It should be a good show.
You're inviting me.
Where are you going? You're going to be on vacation somewhere fun?
Why, I'm doing a Steve Bertrand travel trip to London and Edinburgh, Scotland.
Really?
Find out. We talked about this on the show yesterday. Apparently, the princes are fighting. Harry and William are not getting along. Can you please find out what's going on there, John?
Is that why he's going to go to Africa?
Yeah, well, that's part of the talk.
That's it. I'm going to Africa.
Exiling him to Africa.
Let's go. Yeah. They could have the baby while we're over there.
I know. Wouldn't that be exciting?
That would be kind of cool if we were somehow there.
Yeah, during that.
I don't know what we'd be doing.
You're not really going to be there.
I know. Like, oh my God, Brenda, look, she's having the baby.
She's crowning.
That's, say that in every sense of the word.
Here in this pub that we are touring with Steve Bertrand Travel. I'll see you guys at 1 o'clock.
Thanks, John.
Bye.
This is John Williams. More after this, Bill and Wendy. Oh, first, I must tell you, coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung, because he matters, from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.